It is well with my soul. Most of us sang that like we really meant it. However, not everyone can say that. Hold on to that thought and we'll come back to it later. But for you now, bow your heads with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come before you today, thanking you and praising you that we can sing "It is well with my soul." Not because of us, not because of anything we have done, but because of the provision you have made for us. Sending your Son to be our Savior, calling us into fellowship not only with him, with other believers, and strengthening us in our daily lives as we continue to march forward toward our heavenly home. We do pray that the words of my mouth, together with the meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever seen bad advertising? Now, the whole point of advertising is to get people interested, even excited, to try a product. However, some ads have quite the opposite effect, like these. This must really be a miracle drug, but if you look close, it says simulated imagery. Or about this one. I mean, if my dentist recommends it, must be good, must be safe. I'm not really sure about this ad. I'm not sure what it's really for. But I do note that it says, visit our newly renovated funeral home and best ribs in town in the same ad. I'm not trying either one of them. How about this one? 7-Up bragged that they had the youngest customers in the business. Now, maybe for you, a baby drinking 7-Up makes you want to drink 7-Up. One more. This one is for a 24-hour animal control service. They'll get rid of raccoons, bats, skunks, and babies. Now maybe you've seen a place that advertises the world's best cup of coffee. But when you tried it, it wasn't. In fact, it made you sick to your stomach, or maybe you saw that gas station that promised clean restrooms, but went to use them, they weren't. In fact, they looked like they'd been used by someone who'd just drank the world's worst cup of coffee. Bad advertising. Misleading advertising. All it does is turn you off to the product that they're trying to turn you on to. You may not like this, but there has been a book written based on the interviews of thousands of non-believing young adults who shared their impressions of Christians. The title, Unchristian, comes from what the interviewers were told. And when these young people looked at the lives of people who claimed Jesus as their Lord, they seemed unchristian. They seem to be the opposite of Jesus. Jesus, who wasn't judgmental or hypocritical, but the churchgoers who were. They were turned off from Jesus by the people who were supposed to represent him. And these young people today weren't the only ones. Gandhi once said, "I like your Christ. I did not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Maybe even you. Maybe you've been turned off by the church, by believers, by Christians who weren't exactly Christian. This is the second sermon in a series called God for the Rest of Us. Today, I want you to think about people who've been turned off by the church, about those who do not have it so well with their souls. God is for them. God is for you, for all of us. Please open a Bible up to Matthew chapter 5 and find verse 13. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, you're the advertisement. As followers of mine, you are salt and you are light. You're the advertising. What does salt do? It makes food taste better. It creates thirst. Christians are supposed to make this life taste better, to make others thirst for Christ. And how about light? What does it do? It shines. It illuminates darkness. As Christians, we are supposed to shine God's light. We're to bring joy and hope to this world. The problem is bad advertising. The problem is when Christians are bad advertisements for Christ. And maybe you've experienced it yourself. You went to a church because you were struggling. You wanted help. But instead, you felt judged. Or maybe the church bored you and seemed irrelevant. And you left, feeling it would be a waste of time to keep going. Or maybe what really turns you off is hypocrisy. If you think about it, people in a church being judgmental, or its leaders not being loving and forgiving, and the people following their example, not living out what they claim to believe, that's all hypocrisy. Here's the good news. You're not alone. Jesus was just as turned off by, just as frustrated with hypocrites as you are. Jesus showed us that God is actually full of grace and love, even for people who screw up, even for sinners. Jesus was just absolutely, unapologetically patient with people. He was compassionate with everyone except hypocrites, religious people who were hypocrites. It's still in Matthew, but go to chapter 23. Matthew 23, verse 15. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Continues at verse 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides. You strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee. First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to be people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Jesus was turned off by hypocrites. In fact, hypocrisy seems to be the one thing he could not tolerate. So today, for your own sake, and for the sake of the church and the Lord that you advertise for, this is how not to be a hypocrite. Three principles. First, follow the heart of the law, not the letter of the law. You know, back when Jesus called us salt and light, he went on to say that we've been told, do not murder. But that's only the letter of the law. He goes on to say, don't even get angry. It's like saying, you think you're special for not murdering? The heart of the law is to love people. Or adultery. Again, the letter of the law says not to do it, but Jesus says it's really like this. You think you're special for not crawling into bed with someone you're not married to? That's only part of it. The heart of the law is this. Treat others as valuable. The way you would want to be treated, with respect. Hypocrites follow the letter of the law. Hypocrites follow the letter of the law practically perfectly. But they ignore the heart of it all. Follow the heart of the law, not the letter of it. Second principle, you have to major in mercy. Again, Matthew 5, you'll read that Jesus spoke about the world justifying eye for eye and tooth for tooth. It's the way of the world. Revenge. Retribution. Jesus says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Hypocrites care about being right. Jesus cares about being loving. Hypocrites care about being right. Jesus cares about being loving. what do you care about? Follow the heart of the law. Major in mercy. Third principle, do your good deeds in secret. Still from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:1, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Jesus goes on to offer examples of giving to the needy or praying for someone. And this is a challenge for us, isn't it? We naturally want to keep our sins secret and do our good deeds in public. We want to look good. And we reason that if we look good, the church will look good. And if the church looks good, God will look good. But Jesus teaches this countercultural, counterintuitive lifestyle of revealing our sins and keeping our good deeds secret. Now think about it. We live in a world where people make sure you know the good things about them and make sure that you don't know the bad things. So if you knew some people who were so real, so authentic, that they weren't afraid to let you see their lives, and they never showed off or bragged, you could tell from their character that they were good. But they never made a show of their good deeds. Wouldn't you want to be around someone like that? Wouldn't you want to be more like them? That would be good advertising. Those would be the kind of Christ followers who wouldn't turn people off. And those are the kind of Christ followers we want to be. The kind of church we want to be. It does make you wonder, why church? You know, God knew in His infinite wisdom that churches would be filled with humans, and that humans are always screwing up, so no church would ever be able to perfectly live out what He wanted. So, why church? And John told you last week that much of the thrust of this series of sermons comes from the ministry of Verve Church in Las Vegas. But this final point this morning comes from Philip Yancey in his book called Church, Why Bother? He writes about when the composer Igor Stravinsky once wrote a new piece that contained a difficult violin passage. After several weeks of rehearsal, the solo violinist came to Stravinsky and said that he could not play it. He had given it his best effort, but found the passage too difficult, perhaps even unplayable. Stravinsky replied, "I understand that. What I'm after is the sound of someone trying to play it." He concludes, perhaps something similar is what God had in mind with the church. As a church, we're never going to be perfect. But still, we're the billboard for Jesus on North 7th Street. What people in the community need to see happening between Miami streets and Osage Street, and what they need to see us take home from here, is that we're giving it our very best. To be salt that hasn't lost its saltiness. To be light that hasn't lost its luster. But that if it has, to admit our failures, seek forgiveness, and share that same truth, truth in advertising, with everyone around us. To God and to Him alone be all the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen.